Truth is an emblem of God, and the Bible is truth. The Lord Jesus said, "Sanctify them through thy truth." And then he says, "Thy word is truth." Anytime that you and I add or subtract from the Bible, we are saying we know better. And we don't. This is exactly what happened in the Garden of Eden. Are you in Genesis chapter 3? I'd like to read to you verses 1 through 5. And notice here how the Word of God gets changed. It says in verse 1, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this wonderful book. I pray, O God, today that You might work in our hearts. God, help us to understand today how important the Bible is and how we must be so exact in our followership of it. O God, allow me not to go into heresy. Allow us, O God, not to be enveloped by falsehood. But may the truth of God be that which overtakes us and guides us and directs our every step. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The sin of adding to the pure Word of God. There are many in our day who are adding to the Word of God. There are those whom I would describe, first of all, as scientists, falsely so-called. That's a scriptural term, falsely so-called, because there are those who proclaim to know, but they do not know. There are those who claim that they have a better idea of how things were created than God. And so they came up with what we call the theory of evolution. Remember something, brethren, it's a theory. When Charles Darwin proposed that in the very beginning, in the 1800s, over 800 times he said, "We suppose." As he wrote there, "The Origin of the Species." We suppose. That is quite contrary to God's Word. It says, "Thus saith the Lord." You and I have a sure foundation in the Word of God. We find that there are those who claim to know more than God does about the virgin birth. There are those who ridicule and say a virgin could not conceive and could not bring forth a child. That is simply something made up in the minds of those who claim to be Christians. But the Word of God is very specific that a virgin shall conceive. And that virgin's name was Mary. And by the way, she gave birth then to the Lord Jesus Christ, who through that virgin birth can be deity. If they had any scientific thoughts, and I mean true science, they would know that the bloodline goes through the Father. And so when the Holy Spirit of God impregnated Mary, we find that His blood was pure. And it's by the blood of Christ that you and I are saved, as He shed it upon the cross of Calvary. There are those today who would say the resurrection of Jesus Christ is an impossibility. And at the same time, they're looking for water on Mars and a flood. But they will tell us these kinds of things. There are those who believe that they have a handle on scientific method and will declare to us that heaven and hell are but a figment of our imagination, when indeed those are doctrines from the Word of God. We find that there are religionists. There are Muslims and Buddhists and many others who reject the Bible and have their own writings and claim that their writings are the words of God or the words that people ought to follow. We find that there are occult practitioners who follow satanic writings. We find that there are many cults today who accept the Bible along with other writings as from being from God. I will name a couple of those at this moment. One of those are Mormons who accept the Book of Mormons. They say that it has as much weight as the Word of God. My Bible says that we're not to add to it. So why did Joseph Smith seek to add to it? Because evidently he didn't believe what Proverbs said when he said, add thou not unto his word. But they accept that. Matter of fact, they add other teachings to God's word. They will teach that salvation is by grace plus works. I'm glad today my salvation isn't by grace plus works, because I have no works whereby I can claim any righteousness. They will claim to you and I that Adam was God coming down from heaven, and will even say, along with that, that he brought with him one of his heavenly wives in Eve. They will say that Adam, who they would say is God, his sin was necessary for other men to be born. Because they take a scripture wrong when it talks about in sin, was he conceived? That basically means we are conceived with a sin nature and understand it not. They will also teach that living people can be baptized for dead people for their salvation. They will also teach that there are three different heavens that you can attain to dependent upon your own merit. And get this one, Joseph Smith is on the same par as being from the priesthood of Aaron and Melchizedek, by the way, making him greater than the Lord Jesus Christ, who never claimed to be of the priesthood of Aaron. So we find ourselves in these kind of positions. Don't add to the Word of God. Jehovah's Witnesses today accept the Watchtower writings as being equal with the Word of God. And they add to God's Word. They tell us that Jesus is not God. Thus they use the term Jehovah Witness, not realizing that word Jehovah also has in it Jesus, which means Jehovah saves. But they say He's not God, that He was a created being. They say that He wasn't bodily resurrected, nor will He physically return to this world. They will tell us the Holy Spirit is not a person, but simply a force. And they will say to you and I that we believe in three gods as opposed to one. No, I believe in the Trinity, the triunity, three different persons in one. I do not know how to explain it, but I know it's the Word of God. They will tell us salvation is by grace plus works. They will tell us that the dead are asleep. They're neither in heaven nor in hell. They will tell us that Satan and the lost will not suffer in hell, but will be burnt up in the lake of fire. They will tell us that we should not serve or honor our government. They will tell us not to observe Christmas or Easter or have any parts with those types of things. We have also those who accept the Word of God, but also subscribe to the writings of Ellen G. White. They are called Seventh-day Adventists. And her writings are counted along with the Word of God as the Word of God. And yet, she teaches that you and I who worship on Sunday are followers of and are taking the mark of the beast, and that is Sunday worship. They will tell us that salvation is by grace and law. Grace, they say, will enable one to live the law whereby one builds character worthy of heaven. I'm glad today I can be saved by grace and don't have to work my way there. We have what I believe is one of the largest cults of all, Roman Catholicism, that accepts tradition as sacred with the Word of God. I'm going to quote something to you in just a moment. It's taken from the Conciliar and Post-Conciliar Documents, a publication that was made after the Vatican Council II. It has what's called an imprimatur, which is simply mean let it be granted. In other words, it has the official stamp of approval of the Roman Catholic Church. I quote, "Sacred tradition and sacred scripture then are bound closely together and communicate one with the other. For both of them, flowing out from the same divine wellspring, come together in some fashion to form one thing and move towards the same goal. Thus it comes about that the Church does not draw her certainty about all revealed truths from the Holy Scriptures alone. Hence, both Scripture and tradition must be accepted and honored with equal feelings of devotion and reverence." You know what that's saying if we put it in Baptist terms? That's saying that what I say from this pulpit has the same weight as the Word of God. That is saying that what I speak of as an official of our church, as the pastor, that my words are the same weight as the Word of God. That is not a true statement. I can preach to you the Word of God and teach you the truth of God. And when I quote Scripture, that is the Word of God. But what I'm saying right now is not the Word of God. There be a difference between explanation of it and the actual Word of God. They will add things to the Word of God. This is no surprise that salvation is by faith plus works. They will tell us that baptism starts the process and the sacraments add to it. I do not believe in sacraments. That is you and I doing certain things to gain favor with God. I don't partake of communion to gain favor with God. I do it to honor God. I don't get baptized to gain favor with God. It's an obedience to the Word of God. Okay? It's just that simple. I do not believe, as they do, that a priest can forgive sins. I don't believe that it's my job to go back to that little closet and put a hole in that thing and a cloth over it, and you come back there and tell me your sins. I have enough problem of my own without hearing yours. You might be surprised to know that one of my sins just might be gossip. That would not be good for you. Amen? But I cannot forgive your sins. I cannot turn the bread at the Lord's table into Christ and offer Him again as a sacrifice. That's what Mass is about. Mary is said to be without sin and can intercede on our behalf. The Bible teaches us there's one intercessor, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our mediator between God and man. That is to usurp the authority of my Savior who is portrayed throughout the Word of God. But we also find that you and I oftentimes, as true Christians, we live in contradiction to the Word of God. And when our lives are in contradiction to the Word of God, are we not also adding or subtracting to it in a sense? Sometimes we believe that news items and periodicals are greater than the Bible. Sometimes we will put entertainment over church attendance and over what God says that we ought to observe. We allow possessions to overrule what God says about tithes and offerings. When you and I believe our excuses and reasonings are greater than the Bible, you and I have put ourselves in that same situation. Every word of God is pure. We ought not to add to it. We ought not to subtract from it. We can look at the cultists. We can look at the religionists. We can look at the scientists. We can look at all these people who do so. But if you and I do so with our lives and our actions, we be guilty too. Thank God for His grace. Thank God for His grace. But may I also say to you today that those who are sinners, what are they doing? They're saying the Word of God is not true. They're trying to say that, hey, they believe they're good enough. They're trying to say, or they are saying, hey, I don't need what that Bible says. I don't need Jesus. And yet my Bible says that whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. And you and I stand guilty and condemned before God. And yet, you and I, who are saved today, there was a time in our lives that we thought, hey, I'm good enough. But we had to come face to face with who we are and recognize that we are sinners horribly, tremendously. We like to believe our ideas about God, about church and service to God, is greater than the Word of God. And so we come up with all kinds of things. No doubt if you've witnessed much for the Lord, you're saved today and you've told other people about Jesus, you've heard people say to you, well, I believe this. And then they will say, you know, it doesn't matter so much if I believe what that Bible says, if I'm sincere in my own beliefs. What can I say? You're sincerely wrong. Because the Bible be true, and the Bible teaches that you and I, that we are sinful and we need a Savior. Do we understand today, it does not matter what we think, but what the Bible says. For God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Because of God's love, what did He do? He gave to us a Savior. He gave us Jesus. And you and I, though we stand condemned before God, as it tells us in three verses later, or a couple of verses later in John chapter 3, we stand condemned before God. But when we will put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that condemnation is taken away. Most of you know my son works in a prison. I've talked to law enforcement guys like Kerry here and other men, and they tell me that they wouldn't want any part in that. They'd rather be out on the street dealing with the criminal before they get there. And there are men there that are highly dangerous. There are men there that one day may be executed. With a murder rap already upon their sheet, a life in prison already assured them, they could care less what they would do to my son. You see, you can't get two life sentences because you only got one life. Dangerous men. They're condemned, never to be released, and some to face capital punishment. Do we realize today that's who we are? That's who we are. And yet we'll say, I'm not that bad. Then we're contradicting the Word of God. Because yes, we are. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. We need a Savior. Amen? We need Him desperately. And there's one thing that will save you, and that is when you will put your trust in the gracious God who gave you Christ to die on the cross for your sins. For by grace are you saved through faith. That's how we get it. Amen? And yet we find so much addition to the Word of God. It's very simple. There's a verse that changed my life. It's in Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever. Do you know how you spell whosoever? G-E-N-E. Do you know how you spell whosoever? T-O-M. Yeah. Aren't you glad it says whosoever? Yeah. And when you and I will believe in Him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe in Him. Because of that belief, we cry out with a heart of faith. By the way, it's not so much the words, it's the faith of the heart. Have you allowed God into your life? Have you accepted the glorious grace of God? And let me go one step farther. Christian, is your life adding or subtracting to the Word of God? That's a tough one, isn't it? Yeah. Oh God, today work in us. Help us to be honest with ourselves. Oh God, we tend to look down upon those guys that are sitting in death row, but by the grace of God, that is us. Only Your grace has changed that. And yet we find that our very body is yet to be saved, for it's under that curse. Lord, I pray today that You might work in our midst. There be one here today that's not saved, they might cry out to You. There be one here today that their life has been in opposition to the Word of God. Oh God, we've not really mentioned any areas, that Your Spirit might just move upon us in those things. May we get that right. And oh God, thank You that we can come to You and get forgiveness. Because really, God, we've all added and subtracted. But thank You for Your grace that overcomes. Lord, there's other needs perhaps here today that ought to be taken care of. We ask that You might bless in this time of invitation. In Christ's name, amen.